Yeah, I definitely think that there's a war. There's a war against our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Here we go.
Welcome back
to another episode of the Hell Money podcast.
It's the best episode of the year.
That's right. Yes. this is the episode where Aaron finally bullies me into doing an astrology episode.
Yeah.
But we have a very special guest.
I know, I brought this back episode. Up.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Both sides, you know, mm-hmm. coming at me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have Caroline Ivins on the podcast, my best friend, designer for Inscribing Atlantis, the better half of the Aquarian conspiracy. I don't know. Is that the fair intro to give you?
Yeah, that's fair.
Astrologer. Yeah.
Yeah. Long time friend of the pod. Hell Money super fan. It's great to finally be here.
I feel like you are probably like in the top five Hell Money pod super fans.
Absolutely.
I think so.
I mean, I've seen every episode.
Yeah. 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 Like I'm pretty sure there's probably like 5 to 10 of you that exist mm-hmm. like in the world.
What mm-hmm. is the Aquarian conspiracy and what is Inscribing Atlantis?
Wow. Look at Ooh. You. Oh my God.
Listen, you got to give everybody an opportunity to show.
Host with the most. Aquarian Conspiracy is Caroline and I's astrology collective, which like various other people have been involved with. Like we did an event in Miami that was like, we had multiple speakers, but basically it's like an astrology collective that's focused on the astrology of Bitcoin.
If people are interested, can they get personalized readings?
Oh my God, Casey, you're shilling so early. Like, yes, yes. We opened readings. Cause yeah, I mean the thing is like, so both Caroline and I are like outer planet astrologers, which like probably means nothing to most people, but like,
what's the difference?
If you think about like the planets in terms of their distance from the sun, mm-hmm. the personal planets or the inner planets are like, they have much shorter cycles because they're so close to Earth and close to the sun.
Mars and less, right?
Mars
and closer.
Yeah. Look at you. Yes.
I just know that there's a big gap in.
Yeah. There's like the asteroid belt. Yeah. So like Venus, Mercury, Sun, Mars are all personal planets. That's like, you know, people who care about things like Mercury retrograde, that kind of stuff. Like what's your sun sign? Like a lot of like kind of pop astrology is like the personal inner planets because it's so,
so more fast moving, spicier, you know?
Yeah. It's personal stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like on a human level. Whereas like the outer planets, many of which were only discovered in the last like 100 to 200 years, have much longer cycles because they're so far out.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, if you're interested in economic, political, societal astrology, which Caroline and I are, you kind of look at the outer planets.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, like her and I don't really do a ton of like readings or like horoscopes or like sun sign astrology stuff, just because we're more interested in like historical astrology.
Yeah. Or mundane astrology, which is the branch of looking at like collective like world events.
Yeah. Mm. Which is a bad name for it.
Yeah.
Because like, mundane astrology.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but it's like at the same time, like looking ahead at 2024, there's just a lot going on, and I think like from a energetic spiritual perspective, like people need guidance, to be honest. Like I just think there's a lot of chaos, there's a lot of uncertainty, and honestly like every time that there's like really insane shit going on, like it always lines up with the astrology, and I always feel so like grateful that I know astrology because it helps contextualize it for me. And so yeah, so we opened up readings for like December and January, which are like available to book through our website.
Which is?
AquarianConspiracy.org.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what if people want like something colorful, like to spruce up their home?
We gave Casey this poster designed by Caroline.
It's great. It's really nice. The colors are really nice. The layout is really nice. It's a solid poster for those who are astrologically minded or not.
Yeah, I don't know how well it's going to show up on camera here, but I don't know, Caroline, do you want to explain the design since it's your design?
Sure. So we've got the zodiacal wheel on the outside. You can see the different celestial bodies or the planets and the paths through the zodiacal wheel that they make throughout the entire year. So you can see, you know, the area of the zodiac that they will retrograde through and kind of the area that they cover throughout the year. So the outer planets, you know, they don't move nearly as far. Whereas Mercury, for example, it goes all the way around the zodiac and then there's some overlap.
You can see. Actually, wait, I want to show Casey because I think it will help like to understand. So you see how like, I mean, probably the people who are watching can't see, but do you see how this one has like the overlap here?
Oh,
here,
yeah, that's here? Retrograde. That's
it's when Mercury retrograde.
The apparent movement versus the Earth is reversed.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you can see like Mercury is the most inner and then like this furthest out one is
Pluto.
Oh,
so very slow very long orbit paths have less, more time in like weird retrograde patterns.
Yes.
Because the, yeah. because the retrograde is from the orbit of the Earth, right? And so the orbit of the Earth is like very fast relative to the orbit of Pluto or whatever.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So this is basically like a 2024 calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Like
it also, glance. It also includes, along the outer edge of the zodiacal wheel, it gives the dates for the new and full moon, for each sign.
Nice.
So you can follow that. It notes whether it's an eclipse. And then down at the bottom, there's more information about the exact dates that everything goes retrograde or direct, and what degree point they do so at.
Yeah, this is sick. It's really lovely.
Aww, where are you going to hang it?
Oh, I think I'll probably hang it here.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. It's hard because like I feel like that wall's so big that I don't know if that's like... But I feel like it does match like the aesthetic of your apartment too.
Yeah,
especially
so.
With
like,
the lights right now.
Like, I don't know how
we... Ooh, be careful. Ooh, watch out.
Shatters.
Ooh, yep.
Okay. Well, excellent work introducing with shilling.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, basically like I feel like... I don't know. It's... Like the end of the year into the new year is always like a time where I feel like Caroline and I just like sit down and look at the astrology coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we wanted to talk about basically here today is like, as I said, in terms of like why we're opening up readings, like 2024 is just very, very insane astrology. And so we just want to like give some context for that.
Mm-hmm. The people need to know.
Yeah, the people need to know.
They need to be prepared.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Also,
exactly.
This feels like a, you know, we're on the cusp of something with Bitcoin.
We
you know?
Literally are. Yeah. We literally are.
Bitcoin like prices up. I think as of pod time, recording time, it's like 37.8K or something.
Yeah.
Mempool is full. Mempool has been spicy for a long time. Kind of feels like the bear market is over. You
yeah.
know? How can we be in a bear market when we're at 37K?
That's true.
ETF is probably coming. SEC might approve an ETF. This would unlock a lot of liquidity for Bitcoin. And as we will find out, many exciting astrological events for 2023. Let's get into it, Aaron.
Wow. Casey, look at you go.
I know,
like, you really
insane.
Know how to turn it on. Okay. I do want to actually start just... Well, okay. So we have literal pages of notes
yeah.
like, to go through. But like, intro Caroline... Like, Caroline, what's your deal? How did you get involved in all this?
I mean, Aaron orange-pilled me. I have been friends with Aaron for about 10 years now. We got really close 5 or 6 years ago because we both got into astrology at the same time. And I think at the time we were living on opposite coasts of the United States. And it was just a really great way for us to keep in touch and relate to the world around us and just, you know, stay in tune with each other. And we learned a lot, I think, having each other through that process.
What would the chats look like? Like you'd like
paragraphs. Yeah, paragraphs. Just like, it's just, yes, like just psycho back and forth, yeah. like lots of yeah. typing.
Like just talking about astrology.
Yeah, like yeah, realizations, like, oh, I was looking into this thing and like, you know, mm-hmm. I was like looking, it's so interesting. Like, I feel like just a mini essay is back and forth. Like, I said this to you, I think like actually around last time this year, which is crazy to think how much like everything has changed like since then. Cause last year, Caroline and I were working on, we did the same thing. Like we did the posters. Mm-hmm. We did like a whole like write up on the transits of 2023 and like we were called Planet Nine at the time. Like mm-hmm. now we do like Aquarian Conspiracy cause we're just focused on Bitcoin. At the time that was like more general astrology. Mm-hmm. But like, I remember like when we were working on that, I like told you, I was like, you are like the person that like I go to intellectually. Like it's like if I have like a big brain idea, it's like I'm like, because most of my big brain ideas are about astrology because that's just like what I'm obsessed with, you know? And like, it's the framework through which I understand the world. And I think you feel the same way. So it just like, it's like a lot of times it'll be like, if you're familiar with like where like important dates, basically like, oh, I know Pluto's going to go into Aquarius on this date. It's like, you start seeing it everywhere. Like the FTX stuff, for example, like we'll talk about that a little bit more. Cause there's going to be FTX stuff happening in like Sam Bankman-Fried stuff happening in 2024. But like FTX collapsed on an eclipse. Sam Bankman-Fried's trial happened the next eclipse, the following year, like literally the same type of eclipse. It was a mm-hmm. Taurus lunar eclipse in both cases. Like, and then his sentencing in 2024 is also on an eclipse. Like mm-hmm. it's just, if you know dates and you kind of like have a working intermediate to a, like advanced astrological knowledge, it's like you just kind of, I don't know, I think the human brain like recognizes patterns like that. So mm-hmm. it's like, because like she's basically the only other person that's like on my level that I'm close to, It's like we just end up like sending crazy ass messages to each other.
Yeah.
Speaking of anniversaries, when's the 1 year anniversary of the pod?
I think it already happened.
It was in April, right?
May, I think. Early May.
So we've been doing the pod for like a year and a half?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, we took like a break over the summer, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's cute.
Yeah. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. It's almost, because I met you in January 2022. So it's almost like 2 year anniversary of me knowing you, or like me even like being into Bitcoin, like at like a social level.
Right.
Anyway,
it all happened so fast.
It all happened so fucking fast. Yeah.
Like Aaron met Casey. They started the podcast shortly thereafter because I was already so close with Aaron. Like I just immediately like took to it and wanted to be supportive and be involved. And then I ended up meeting all of her Bitcoin friends and was just like, whoa, like I really like this. Like these people are really smart and interesting. And then I looked at the astrology of Bitcoin and the rest was history.
Yeah. Then we became Bitcoin astrologers. Like woof.
Woof.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes like the people who can, when you're trying to figure out what you can do or what you should do, a lot of the time it isn't the thing that you're best at, or just being good at one thing doesn't give you a huge advantage, but being kind of good at two things oftentimes gives you a massive advantage.
Right. Yeah. So find your niche.
Yeah. You got to find your niche. So yeah. Bitcoin astrologer seems like a pretty potent niche.
I think it works also because I feel like there is this interesting spiritual undertone to Bitcoin. Like a lot of people, I mean, for better or for worse, a lot of people I think put so much into Bitcoin, both like
it definitely
literally
has a spiritual, ideological, kind of religious aspect to it.
Right. And you can see that in like the way that people act about it, the way that people talk about it, the way that they form their entire lives around it. Like I think it's very clearly a powerful thing. Also like the Immaculate Conception of it all with like Satoshi and all of that. I think it's like a biblical story, you know what I mean? And I think I don't know, that niche of like esoteric spiritual Bitcoin like myth making, I think is one that I feel like people really latch onto. I mean, like even like the first Aquarian Conspiracy episode we did with Matt and Bethany, like however long ago, I guess it was like probably March or something, talking about just like the digital megalith narrative of like Bitcoin is this huge digital structure that we're building and we're putting all this energy into and like we're graffitiing on it with our inscriptions and all of that. Like I think in many ways like Bitcoin is, it's something that's difficult for a lot of people to understand technically like in a real way, but they know it's like important and powerful and whatever. And I think a lot of times in those cases people like make spiritual like narratives around that. Mm-hmm. So we're just kind of trying to like add structure to that, I think.
Absolutely. Are there any other Bitcoin astrologers?
Yeah, there are. I mean, so actually one of the like people that we're going to reference, so essentially what we're going to do like is like go through a timeline of 2024 and go through kind of the important dates and like talk about the energies that are afoot. We're also just going to talk about kind of like the greater context of like what's going on more broadly, like on like a decade and beyond kind of level. And then we're going to look at your personal astrology, but
can't wait.
But one of like the dates that we have is someone, SJ Anderson. He's a great astrologer. Like he pointed it out. And like, I love like seeing like other Bitcoin astrologers. There's one like really insane guy. Oh my God. I probably shouldn't even fucking shout him out. I'm not going to say
Is it the guy who really hates me?
Yeah. But sometimes he loves you.
I really scratched my head at that. I mean, like, is it, so just for context, there's somebody on Twitter who like seems deep into astrology.
So deep.
He's a very competent astrologer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like hates my guts for some reason. I think because of the inscription numbering thing.
Yeah.
Maybe shitting on BRC20s.
No, I think he's a bitmap person. Is inscription numbers tied up in bitmap?
Not really. No. Although we did start hiding bitmap inscriptions and then text inscriptions from the homepage.
I think it's just personal. I think he finds you to be like personal. Tyrannical and like, but it's not. It's not just you. Like he literally calls like Leonidas Leonidas.
He's a crazy ass poet.
I think he's one of the most dedicated haters. Yeah, so I kind of have a soft spot.
I know, and I'm like friends with him now. Like,
yeah,
like I think he's kind of like the Azalea Banks of Ordinals. Like it's like
I don't have enough cultural context to understand.
Azalea Banks, like the way that she insults people is like so cutting, but it's like poetry. Like she's like froggy eyelidded Elon Musk. Like
Okay.
Like, that's like the way, okay, we should stop. Like, I don't want to feed him more, but like, there are Bitcoin astrologers.
Is he a pod? Does he watch the pod?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He definitely like interacts with us a lot.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll watch this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. He will. Cause it's like, okay, well, then we'll fucking move on from that. Yeah.
Shout out to him.
But yeah, I don't know. I think we should get into, okay, so yeah, the way Caroline and I have this organized, we kind of wanted to talk about Pluto and Aquarius first, because that's like the big thing. I feel like that is like, when I think about like what's the narrative of the Aquarian conspiracy, that's kind of like the important moment that mm-hmm. it all sits in. So we want to like touch on Pluto and Aquarius first, and then kind of go through like a specific date by date timeline.
Mm-hmm.
You down?
Yeah, let's go. All right. Let's do it.
Pluto and Aquarius, Caroline, you want to kick it off?
I mean, sure. So, Pluto first entered Aquarius actually last year in 2023 after spending the last, 15 years in Capricorn since 2008?
Yeah, so 2008 to 2024 was the Pluto in Capricorn era. So mm-hmm. as we said before, like the outer planets move much slower. Pluto is the furthest out planet. It's a 250-year cycle. And so
is it the slowest orbiting planet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it spends the most time in each astrological sign. So Pluto, the sign that it's been in most recently or is in right now is Capricorn, and that started in 2008
mm-hmm.
and then yeah wraps up 2024, and then Pluto is in Aquarius 2024 to 2044.
Yeah,
so these are like big, and the last time that Pluto was in Aquarius was like the beginning of the United States of America, because mm-hmm. it was like 250 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this whole kind of narrative of like the US is going through its Pluto return right now. That's kind of like the general time from like 2017 to 2024, which we'll talk about more, because there's also a really important eclipse in April that like, I think like the 2017 to 2024 period for the US in particular is this like transition where after that period of time, we are fundamentally a different country. And like, it's not to say that like, that's necessarily going to be like the peak of the drama, because I think there's still quite a bit of drama left for 2025, 2026, really all the way through like the 2030s. But like, I think like in terms of like the United States being fundamentally transformed itself, I think the 2017 to 2024 period is like that. Mm-hmm. And so like getting back to Pluto, like Pluto is this like, death and rebirth. It's like it's Hades of the underworld. Like in like Greek mythology to Roman mythology, Pluto is to Hades. And so Pluto is like the ruler of the underworld. It like brings up these things like to the surface that were lurking underneath. And so it's a lot about like death and rebirth, like transformation, collapse of structures, all that kind of stuff. So like Pluto being in Capricorn was a lot about like the destruction of like financial institutions, like big hierarchies of things,
mm-hmm.
Because Capricorn is all about like traditions, hierarchies. Capricorn is like the father of the zodiac. It's like, you listen to me because like I've earned the right to like tell you what to do and to tell you how it is. And like, I think, you know, even like Pluto being in Capricorn with 2008 with Bitcoin is, I think Bitcoin is very much like a Pluto and Capricorn response, like, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it was born out of, so a lot of times what Pluto does as it moves through a sign is it exposes like the dark underbelly of the archetype. So I think that's why we've seen so much like failure in our financial system and corruption in our political structures. Like Pluto's kind of just doing its thing. And in the last year, it started this wobble between, you know, ingressing into Aquarius and then retrograding back into Capricorn. And so I think through this next year, as it re-enters Aquarius and then retrogrades back into Capricorn again, and then re-enters Aquarius for good on, I think January 1st-ish, 2025.
January 1st, 2025.
Yeah, like we're really in, I think, the thick of kind of the turmoil of Pluto, like exposing
the end of
the Capricorn era. Yeah.
Like, so Pluto entered Aquarius for the first time March 23rd. I think it was like March 23rd at like midnight or one our time. And on like in 2023, and it was in
close to my birthday.
Mm-hmm. It was literally your birthday dinner.
Yeah. And actually the like inscribing Atlantis, like parent inscription, the sat that we chose is from that day, like as Pluto was going into Aquarius for the first time. So that, and then we like inscribed the chart of like that event on the set. So very important, because that was like the first time that Pluto entered Aquarius, literally since like the like forming of the United States. Like, but it was in Pluto, or it was in Aquarius only very briefly. That was like March to June, like March 23rd to June 11th, 2023. So I would say, like, just for anyone who's trying to like put this in the context of like their own life, like whatever happened March to June of 2023, that's like the new energy that's coming in. Like, I feel like since June, when Pluto retrograded back into Capricorn, there's kind of this temptation to like pull back and be like, oh wait, like maybe this new thing that I like got into isn't actually like it, like I need to pull back, I need to do X, Y, or Z. And it's like, no, like Pluto's going back into Aquarius January 20th, 2024. And like all of that energy, which I think probably most ordinals people like can understand like how crazy it felt to be in ordinals, or probably many other things from the period of like March to June of this last year, like that craziness I feel is like coming back again. And and it's not just coming back, it's like that's the next 20 years. Like, I don't know, I mean,
I agree. Yeah.
But that being said, what's fucking insane is that Pluto goes back into Capricorn one last time right around the election, 2024.
Nice.
Yeah.
You nice. Can't make this shit up.
You can't make this shit up. So like November.
What sign is Trump, Biden, and Vivek Ramaswamy?
I don't know what Vivek is, but Trump is a Gemini, mm-hmm. obviously. Clearly. And Biden's a Scorpio, as is Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Yeah. Rough. Obama's a Leo, just like me.
You love Obama.
I mean, he's, you know, he's a charismatic figure.
Just own it. Come on. Yeah. It's okay.
I have a you know this. I have a complicated relationship with Obama. I like love his riz, I guess. But like,
yeah, same. That's about all I love.
That's
about
it.
Him.
Like, yeah.
The riz. The riz is great, but other than that,
and it like makes me resent him in a way, because I'm just like
resent.
It makes me resent him, yeah, because he had so much like potential, and he just like he just burned out on his fucking riz. It's like great. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so like. Yeah, so January 20th, 2024, which is also exactly a year after you released Ordin Scribe on Mainnet. Mazel, happy birthday.
Thank
it'll
you
be.
Very much.
That's when Pluto reenters Aquarius for the first time since June. And so like honestly, the thing that I've been telling people, like, I don't necessarily see that as being like that's the bull run. I don't know. Like it's a bit, I think it's a bit too like long term to think of it that way. It's a 20-year cycle, like it's not really like that. But I think like my advice that I've been giving people is like whatever it is that like you had as like your vision or your dream like back in like March to June, like be ready to like go on it again in January. Like as soon as Pluto re-enters Aquarius, like we're getting that boost again, and I think like people just need to be ready to like ride that crazy wave. And like there's a lot of good positive stuff, because it's just a lot of intense transformation energy. I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to, like, Caroline, do you want to talk about kind of like the direct connection to Bitcoin with Aquarius?
Yeah, sure. So if you look at the astrology of Bitcoin, so just in the same way that you can look at a natal chart for a person or a historical event, you can look at the natal chart for Bitcoin. So we use... January 3rd date, 2008?
Yeah, it's great because we have literally an exact block time like for the like birth of Bitcoin, like the first block. So it's like, it's literally perfect to do astrology.
Totally. We don't have a location, so we don't look at the houses as much. But having that, you get this whole picture of what Bitcoin is. And so Bitcoin is a Capricorn sun. So its identity is tied to this, you know, Capricorn like financial archetype. But it was born out of the start of the Pluto in Capricorn era, like that very beginning 2008 period. So its identity is kind of inherently linked to the crumbling of that era. Like it's just, that's kind of what it archetypally stands for. Then it has Jupiter at 29 degrees of Capricorn.
So right at the end of Capricorn.
Right at the very, very last degree of Capricorn. And so that point, as Pluto does this like little dance and this wobble between Aquarius and Capricorn, Pluto transits over that point in Bitcoin's natal chart multiple times. And that's like very powerful stuff. Like Pluto transits because the orbit is so long. Like they are very transformative, powerful times in a person's life. Like I guarantee if you get into your own astrology and you can trace when Pluto is transiting like a specific point in your chart, like it really has like a deep impact. So I think Bitcoin will be permanently transformed through this kind of like period of expansion and contraction through this transit.
Yeah, because Jupiter is all about like growth and expansion. Like Jupiter is it's a benevolent planet in the sense that like it's about growing. And so like, yeah, as Caroline's saying, like basically like over the next year Pluto is just like going back and forth over this like expansionary growth point for Bitcoin. So I guess maybe you could say in that way it is sort of like bullish for Bitcoin, but it's hard because it's like it's transforming the way that it grows. Like I think it's more that this year like the narrative around Bitcoin sort of changes, like the way that we see it, the way that people like understand it. I feel like even just like the idea of like number go up, like that's sort of, I feel like what's being transformed with like Jupiter being this growth and expansion planet and having the transformation around that. Like, I don't know. I think like the feeling of going home for Christmas and having your parents be like, you still into that crypto thing? Like, I feel like just the like public narrative around like, what is Bitcoin? What does like number go up mean like for Bitcoin? Like, it means that the US dollar is being devalued, right? Yeah. Like it's like just like even being able to understand.
Is it sort of a make it or break it kind of moment?
I think it's pretty much make it. Yeah. I don't think it's really. I think the make it or break it is 2032 personally.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Yeah. For different reasons. But
are we going to get to 2032?
Not in this episode.
Not in this episode.
Then what's what is it? Why is 2032?
We talked about actually in the original astrology of Bitcoin episode. Remember I told you about the cycle that started in like the 80s and ends in 2032? I mean, that was like, whatever. Yep. I mean, obviously, I don't expect you to remember all the details. But if people are interested, I talked about it a lot more in that episode. But basically, like, that's like a more like 40 to 50 year length cycle that like Bitcoin is very clearly. It's like a decentralization versus centralization fight that is like, we're not sure which is going to win. Like, it's not guaranteed that decentralization wins, right? Like, the reality is that like, centralized powers are growing, surveillance is growing, and like we might not win this battle.
Yeah.
Also, 2032 is the first epic sat, so we could have a 51% attack where all the miners are trying to go.
And then
it's like I keep telling people like that's the real ordinals attack on Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think that's one of the few legitimate criticisms of ordinals is that it creates this highly variable aspect of the block reward. But hopefully by the time we get there, like the fees are so high that I mean, who cares about a fucking legendary sat?
I mean, what if that sat is worth, you know, $100 million, and then
it could be.
Miners collude to get 51% of the hash power so that they can have better odds of getting the sat in 2032.
Yeah, it could happen.
Really think that, but it's like
you can also bribe other miners. Like if you find the sat, you can include a very large transaction that pays out other major miners as an incentive for them not to reorg your block that found the sat.
Oh, so that they don't like fuck up.
Yeah, because the thing that could happen is like somebody finds the epic sat and like other miners.
Is it legendary or epic?
Legendary.
Yeah, sorry. You're right. It's legendary.
They find the first legendary sat and other miners want to get that sat. So instead of extending the longest chain, they just try to reorg that one block. That's the negative case. But I actually don't think it's going to be a big deal. I don't.
Obviously, it's not. Like.
Yeah, we've never seen that behavior from miners. Like, who knows? Like, maybe. But yeah.
2032 is a long way off. But I mean, I think, 2032 has more of a make it or break it thing where it's like, I feel like that's also kind of like our like hyper Bitcoinization thing. Like,
another thing that happens, I can't remember the exact year it happens. It's either at the very end of the 2020s or early 2030s, but Pluto will finally hit Bitcoin's north node in Aquarius.
Yeah.
So in addition to having like all of these like intense Capricorn placements, Bitcoin has an Aquarius stellium.
Which is just a lot of placements.
A lot of placements.
So it has both Capricorn and Aquarius energy, and actually a decent amount of like Pisces energy as well.
Definitely.
Which Caroline, we're actually working on a piece for Bitcoin Magazine about this. Where we're like going into it. But there's like, you can really fucking nerd out about this, but sorry, I interrupted you.
No, no, I just, it's so that's that North Node at, I think it's like 9 degrees Aquarius. Like when Pluto finally hits that point, that is kind of like this moment of make it or break it, where like Bitcoin either aligns with its destiny and like brings us into the age of Aquarius and, you know, like is fully actualized in creating
perfect,
this, like
the most perfect money we've ever seen, right? And the most perfect like decentralized store of value where you're connecting, like it's like,
yep,
yeah,
it like is either going to be like a full power up or like Pluto completely breaks it and it's over.
Yeah,
so I think that is something to really look out for.
That's that's sort of in line with the sort of timeline of difficulties for Bitcoin that we sort of talked about in the Bitcoin Spooky Season episode.
Mm-hmm.
That like, I don't think that the real challenge for Bitcoin is in the near term. It's almost like, I think the real challenge is after it gets adopted.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then people are really playing to win with Bitcoin as a pawn in their games. And that is when we see if Bitcoin can really resist capture. And
absolutely,
that is probably 2030s. Kind
of vibe. I guess like to put it back in the context of 2024, like I would say what I expect to happen in 2024 is that we start to see that like public consciousness around Bitcoin, where like it's more than just like, mer, Bitcoin takes so much energy, or like, mer, people are speculating on this fake thing. But like they understand like that a lot of money was printed in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And like, why is inflation so high? Like all of these kind of more like overarching narratives, I think more about fiat, I think are probably going to come more to the public consciousness, especially with an election year. Like inflation is going to be such a big issue in this election, like no fucking doubt.
Another cool thing about the timing of the election is that at that time the transiting North Node will be at 4 degrees Aries, which is Bitcoin's natal moon placement. And so
that's nice.
Generally, the moon in mundane astrology represents like public sentiment. And so this will be the first time in Bitcoin's life that the North Node, which is kind of like this evolutionary pole, is transiting that point. And so I really do feel like it's kind of like fated that around the election, like we're going to be talking about inflation. Like I think the public will finally start to like put the pieces together for the first
connect
time.
Connect the dots. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think like there's more to say really about like Bitcoin and Aquarius, but I feel like we should get into just like going through the dates.
Sure.
The only thing I do want to like mention is just like, I think like for anyone who does have like a like intermediate or beginner knowledge of astrology, like looking at Aquarius transits is a really good way to understand Bitcoin, because like if you look at like Saturn and Jupiter, which were both recently in Aquarius, like literally if you look at the plot of Jupiter and Aquarius, it exactly plots with the bull market. It's like insane. Mm-hmm. Like it's a one-to-one plot essentially. And I think like that's the thing that like as an astrologer kind of like orange pilled me, was like seeing, oh my God, like this is like this very important age of Aquarius transit. And it seems like Bitcoin is responding in this like very positive way to that, like maybe I should look into this more. And then realizing like that Bitcoin perfectly exemplifies Aquarius themes, which are like decentralization, being an individual in a network of other individuals who have to like find a way to work together without like compromising themselves. Like it's so much of the Aquarius energy is like exactly what Bitcoin is. And I think that's why when you explain Bitcoin to astrologers, they get it, because they are looking for those things with like the age of Aquarius coming in. So anyway, all that to say, Aquarian conspiracy, Bitcoin's the Aquarian conspiracy, essentially. Like,
oh, that's
the conspiracy.
Just gave it all away.
Victoria's Secret.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Let's get into the specific dates for 2024.
Hell yeah.
We basically just like pulled out important specific dates and transits that I think like people should look for over the course of the year, both for Bitcoin and kind of just like big picture, I would say like USA centered kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So starting out Valentine's Day, February, Valentine's Day this year is so fucked up. The astrology is absolutely awful.
It's a goddamn mess.
It's like horrible. It's so on February 14th, Pluto and Mars are conjunct in Aquarius. So Pluto enters Aquarius January 20th, and then Mars comes in there as well. And Pluto and Mars are both very like dark, like transformative, irritable energies. Like Pluto is like that underworld energy, and then Mars is like aggression, like specifically like masculine sort of like impulsivity. It's like the god of war, like all of those kind of things. And Venus is transiting Bitcoin's natal Jupiter, like in that late degree Capricorn stuff that we said, like it's transforming kind of like the number go up of it all with Bitcoin. Like Venus is there as well. I don't know. Honestly, like this could be good for Bitcoin. I think the unfortunate thing with Bitcoin, well, it just is what it is. I don't know that it's unfortunate. Is like, if you think about like the conditions under which Bitcoin is likely to succeed, other things are like not doing so hot. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
Bitcoin versus the US dollar.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like if we hit like a 10 million, I've said this many times on the podcast, but like everyone is like, oh, I want $10 million Bitcoin, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you don't want to like look at what America looks like.
$10 million Bitcoin is Mad Max Bitcoin.
Yes. It's fucking Mad Max. Like, you go outside and you need like a machine gun. You know what I mean? Like if the dollar fails.
$10 million Bitcoin is one round of ammunition Bitcoin, right?
Damn.
It's so I think like it's very like Valentine's Day this year has like very heinous, gnarly energy, but it also is kind of like, it's kind of bull market vibes. Like, I think we could be in a good place with Bitcoin. And the other thing with that is that, so the Pluto Mars cycle, if you imagine like Pluto and Mars meet up at a conjunction, and then like Mars moves much faster than Pluto because it's like an inner planet, right? So like Pluto's moving around, but like Mars is moving much faster, and then they like go all the way around until they get conjunct again. That cycle, which like starts and ends with the conjunction, starts on Valentine's Day with that like really aggressive energy, and then the 180 degree like midpoint of that cycle is like literally election day 2024, and then they meet back up again like January 1st 2025, something like that.
I that can't be right, because a Mars cycle is 2 years,
so maybe it's 2026. I thought I had it written down, but basically like, yeah, it whatever. I think like what I'm gonna be looking for as an astrologer is like whatever happens around Valentine's Day that is like a very disturbing revelation or action or move made is going to have major, major ramifications for the election. Absolutely. Like, I feel like that's really setting off like a cycle there. And I don't know if Bitcoin's directly involved or if it's just like chaos that kind of benefits Bitcoin because Bitcoin benefits from chaos, but like, I don't know.
I mean, what's really cool about, you know, the opposition point in that cycle is that Pluto will be in literally different signs, which is just so rare and so unusual because of how long a Pluto cycle is. Like for, you know, the Valentine's Day portion, it's in Aquarius, like at the very first degree of Aquarius. And then by election, it's back at that 29 degrees of Capricorn. So
the election this year is going to be so fun.
It's going to be rough. Too. Like a Cancer Capricorn Pluto Mars opposition at the 29th degree, like it's gonna be a mess.
It's so bad. We'll keep going through because there's a lot to kind of say about the election, and I'd be curious of your thoughts too, because there's a little bit of like a deeper narrative here going on. But moving on, March 25th there's a Libra lunar eclipse, which also aligns with SBF sentencing. Mm-hmm. So as I said earlier,
what's SBF?
Sam Bankman-Fried. Yeah, you're asking
what's his sign.
Oh, what is his sign? What is SBF's sign? Wait, why don't I know this off the top of my head?
I forget.
He's a Taurus, right?
I know he has the same ascendant as you, right?
Yeah, he has the same exact degree ascendant as me. I have like a lot of like similar placements to SBF. It's like pretty fucked up.
When Aaron told me this, I was like, my entire life, like, what have I done? Like,
my Caroline Ellison. You're much prettier than Caroline.
Oh,
Ellison.
Thank you.
It's like low bar, but sorry, I don't mean to rail on the queen.
Wow, the misogyny.
Yeah. The misogyny jumped out.
We're not here to take down other women, Aaron.
Yeah, no. What is SBF sign?
I don't remember.
I don't remember what his sign is, but his first house is Taurus, which is where all of these eclipses have been happening. Mm-hmm. So like the first one was November 2022. I remember we were at Pack Bitcoin interviewing Eric Kaysen when it happened. That was a lunar eclipse. Then the next Taurus lunar eclipse was November 2023, like just a couple weeks ago. That's when he like was found guilty on all charges. And then literally like the court date for his actual sentencing, where he finds out how long he's going to go to jail for, is I think it's 2 days before the eclipse in March.
Is it not the exact day? I thought it was the 25th. No,
you might be right.
I think it's the exact day.
Yeah, you're right. It's the exact one. And like, I think also I'm really curious to see, like obviously like I look at FTX stuff more because we're like into Bitcoin, like crypto astrology, but there's also really interesting tie-ins with like the royal family for these eclipses. Mm-hmm. Like King Charles was like coronated on an eclipse. Rishi, whatever his name is, the prime minister of the UK, was like also brought into power on the FTX collapse eclipse. Like, I don't know if King Charles is going to die or what, but like there is, I think there's something probably that's going to go on with the royal family at that time as well. But yeah, March 25th, just the whole FTX thing, I think is like really interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you have thoughts on like how the FTX stuff, I don't know, plays into like the Bitcoin narrative specifically? Like,
I do, in the sense that that whole Scorpio Taurus eclipse cycle was like this whirlwind ride for Bitcoin. I mean, the first one that kicked it off in November 2021, that's when Bitcoin was at its all-time high. And so everyone was kind of like riding that bull market vibes. And then I think, you know, just 1 year later to have the, you know, contrast of that and the crash, like I think it, Uranus is in Taurus, and so I think that brings a lot of instability around like money and the Taurus archetype.
Yeah, I would say like 2018 to 2026, is that right?
For the Uranus and Taurus transit? No, I think it's 2025.
Oh yeah, 28. Okay, so Uranus is in Taurus from 2018 to 2025, and like I think that is like the crypto transformation. Yeah. Like, it's a transformation that's like very chaotic and not necessarily like if Pluto is more about like Pluto's style of transformation is like, it's more like bringing up the darker things that have existed for a while. Uranus is like the revolutionary that like doesn't really know what it's doing. Like, it's more just like causing chaos and like causing instability just for like the sake of it, not really because it has like a plan. Like, Pluto is more like the rising up of something that's like been sitting and thinking and plotting for a long time. Like, Uranus is like much more chaotic. And I think like in many ways, crypto reflects that. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the 2018, you know, like ICO boom, like onward of just like crypto world, I think the FTX collapse really, like FTX, like I feel like that collapse ended the bull market, mm-hmm. like this, mm-hmm. this last time around, you know? And it's interesting to think that like we could be heading into like a Bitcoin bull market as SBF is like going to prison for God knows how long, you know? Yeah, it's there's something there. I feel like we have to wait for the cycle to
completely. I think we haven't seen the last of SBF.
I think so too.
I think he does some crazy shit within prison or like figures out how to get himself out. Like, mm-hmm. I think he's just like, he's too weird to be kept down.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. There's something more. That's what I mean. Like, it's kind of hard to say how this all is going to play out. I feel like we haven't really seen the end yet, but it's clearly like very, I think FTX is a very pivotal part of crypto's story specifically, not just like Bitcoin, but more like crypto in general.
Yeah. It's like, it's interesting that for SBF, they're all Venus ruled eclipses, because it's either the Taurus or then the Libra one. And I just think that that definitely value. Speaks to like, yeah, the value, yeah. like the money, like that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah. Good riddance, but also kind of rooting for him in a fucked up way. Anyway, next we have the halving. So April 8th, there is an eclipse that, do you remember like 2017, there was an eclipse that was visible in the United States?
No.
Okay, well, there were maybe some people, it didn't cross through California, so like you wouldn't have probably thought of it, but it went through Oregon down to the Carolinas, so like across the whole country, like the actual path of totality where you could see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2017, there was an eclipse that went like across the US like this. And then April 8th, 2024, there's an eclipse that goes from basically like Austin, Texas up to Burlington, Vermont. So there's like a giant X that's made by the eclipses from 2017 to 2024, which also is like the transformation period of like the Pluto return. It's like all these kind of things are like converging around this big I would say, negative transformation for the United States from like 2017 to 2024. But that particular eclipse right now is like, I think the halving's expected like April 10th, something like that. The halving could happen on an eclipse. Like that could happen. Mm. But I don't know, Caroline, actually explain your like halving thing. Cause you really like
this. Yeah, I have this like insane crackpot theory about the halving. So all three of the previous halvings have happened on a moon Jupiter conjunction, which like, okay, a moon Jupiter conjunction isn't that crazy. It's going to happen like once every moon cycle.
Once every 28 days.
But like for that to happen three times in a row.
Yeah, one out of 28.
I'm like, is that so? I'm very, very curious to look at the astrology when it does happen, because I need to know if this is like a pattern that's going to continue to repeat.
And that's April 10th.
April 10th. Yeah, we have the moon Jupiter conjunction. It will also be within a 2-degree orb of Uranus at that time, which is like,
oh, fuck, I forgot about that.
It's yeah. April 10th is a crazy day. So if it does happen on April 10th, I don't know that that's definitely when it's going to happen, obviously. But like if it does, shit, that would be pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's so fucked up.
But yeah, I mean, that April 8th eclipse is wild for a number of reasons. It is conjunct Chiron down to the arc minute, which is, it's just, that's like,
and not only conjunct Chiron, it's conjunct the United States Chiron, yeah, and like your, what is it for Casey and Raph?
It's Mars and then moon for Raph.
Yeah, so like you and Raph were also pretty impacted by this. It's like, it's really fucking intense.
It's a very intense eclipse. Yeah. Yeah. I've literally been like writing like rants on Twitter about it for like over a year.
And we'll get, we have more personal astrology for Casey at the end, so we can get more into that. But that, yeah, that eclipse is going to be a fucking doozy for America. I would say America mostly. Mm-hmm. America, I think, is the most fucked up by this eclipse easily. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, that's the thing with eclipses. They're chaotic. They're unpredictable. But it does not look good for the US.
Yeah.
At all. And you and Raph are somehow going to be affected by this also. Yeah. And also the halving is going to happen.
At so the, it's all like, at the same time.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
All with this sort of in a 2-day basically window.
And then what happens at the end of April? Okay, so that's like, you know, the 8th through the 10th. Then by the 20th of April, you get the exact Jupiter Uranus conjunction in Taurus at 21 degrees. And that is like hyperinflation, like financial chaos, like whatever instability has been happening, like Jupiter is just going to amplify it. Which also, I feel like that seems very fated for the halving to happen at that time. Like, it feels like a lot of things are kind of syncing up.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. Moving on, like, just to keep getting through this, like, May 25th, Jupiter enters Gemini, which our good friend SJ Anderson has actually pointed out, like, these are historically very good transits for Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you want to explain, like, the tweet that we have here from him?
You can explain it if you want.
No, you should go for it. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, he just kind of shows through the dates of, you know, I guess we can, you know, if you want to follow him on Twitter, it's
he's SJ
Anderson 144. One of my favorite astrology accounts out there. But basically, this looks like, I guess, at the Mars and Jupiter sign data.
Yeah, he was looking at Mars and Jupiter in Gemini and tracking Bitcoin price change.
Yeah, so it shows a very clear correlation that, like, basically number go up.
Yeah, number go up.
Number go up.
Basically number go up. So I think from just talking to him and his tweets, it sounds like he thinks, like, post-halving is, like,
yeah.
Which I don't disagree. I think I have a little bit more of, like, I always have more of like a skeptical chaos reading. Like, it's like, just because there's, I don't know. I feel like number go up for so many weird reasons. And like, it's easy to just like project the most like optimistic scenario that you want on a scenario. But it's like, to me, I'm just like, USA is so fucked. Like, that's really what it feels like. Like, with that, actually, there's like June 4th, the full Venus in Gemini. This, like, if people want to like look at their own personal astrology, something that started manifesting June 2020, which if you think about what was happening in the US at that time, that was like fucking Emeryville Target getting looted like to literal emptiness. Something that started manifesting at that time comes to like full fruition June 4th, 2023. So that can also be something very positive. A lot of people had like very positive, like COVID summers where they like learned something about themselves, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think that can be a nice thing on the individual level. But like, I mean, I just feel like the US is getting hit over and over and over again. I mean, I think 2024 is going to feel very similar to 2020 in a lot of ways in terms of just like the election year, like hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we should just get, let's get into the election.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, as I said before, there's like that Pluto Mars cycle, November 3rd, that like is like an opposition there. It's pretty clear, I think, if you look at the astrology, that like the election is not going to be settled like when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Another one of those.
Another one of those. I think even more.
More so.
I kind of think, I mean, this is actually like I wanted to, this is where I wanted to get your thoughts, Casey. Like one of the things that like we've talked about with SJ and like SJ talks about a lot is like, you know, with this like transformation of like 2017 to 2024 that the US is undergoing, like what exactly is that transformation? What exactly is like dying here? And I think all signs to me point to democracy, that this is like the end of democracy. And I think if you think about like what the American project was from like the founding fathers' vision, like a lot of it was this like democracy project, right? And I think that like coming out of this period personally, like I think we're entering like a post-democracy era. And like I think the question that I just like wanted to ask you basically, Casey, is like, I feel like as a famous like democracy disrespecter, like what does it look like to like move into a world beyond democracy or into a country beyond democracy?
I think it's kind of like, you know, $1 million Bitcoin. That like the descent of democracy is probably not the ascent of like enlightened libertarianism. It's probably the ascent of,
it's a plutocracy.
Plutocracy or dictatorships, or
it's like reverse French Revolution.
Yeah. I wonder what it would look like just given like what's going on in the ground, like what form would that take?
I mean, I think like if you look at like other countries that are like democracies but not really, it's like it's like people have elections but they don't really believe that they're happening. It's like Putin getting elected over and over and over again, right? Like I feel like,
yeah, I wonder if that would happen in the US. I mean, we do have a pretty strong democratic tradition. Trump has been sort of like a real outlier.
I mean, Trump has not like backed down from the election fraud stuff.
I kind of just feel like Trump doesn't have a chance in this upcoming election. That's just kind of the vibes. I think that like he's a pretty marginal candidate at this point. I don't think he's going to make it.
I think that,
and I think if he does make it, if he does run,
he's running.
Yeah, no. I mean, if he might not get the Republican vote. I think he's probably alienated plenty of Republicans. He might have to run it. He might like wind up running as an independent if he doesn't get the Republican nomination.
I mean, he's polling higher than all the rest of the Republican candidates at this point.
Oh, yikes, man.
The astrology The astrology for Trump on the election day is like
so crazy.
It's like, it looks like that would be the astrology of the winning candidate.
Yeah.
Not trying to say like he's 100% going to win, yeah. But it's,
I mean, that could be the, you know, demise of democracy.
That's what I mean.
Trump just starts. I mean, yeah, I wonder, like, I mean, there is like some sort of scenario where if Trump is like, the thing about Trump, though, Trump has always been highly ineffective. Trump has not gotten anything done, mm-hmm. like ever, like yeah. for good or for ill. Right. He sort of just talks a big game. He's very blustery. But when it actually comes to it, the president doesn't have that much power. There's a lot of checks on the president. So he can sort of throw tantrums, but he can't really get much done. So I don't know. Maybe Trump gets into power and then he's like manages to successfully sort of use the executive position such that, I don't know. Is it possible that some states are like, OK, we can't do this anymore. California breaks away.
I can't see them letting him win. Like, I think, like, whatever. I don't.
Who's they?
They. The big they.
Yeah.
Personally, I would love to see like Hillary versus Trump in 2024.
Just get obliterated.
It's not possible. Hillary is just, I want it back around again.
When was the election?
2016.
Yeah, the 2016 election was not about who was the best candidate. It was about who was the worst candidate.
Yeah.
And that was Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, Biden is pretty, it's just like, imagine, okay, from what everything that we've talked about, like we're like, oh, Valentine's Day, like April, May, June, all these look pretty fucked for the United States. Like, it's like, imagine what people are going to think of Joe Biden. Like, if we're in a scenario where there's like, the economy is doing fucking terribly, like, I'm not saying they'll vote for Trump, but like, I don't think it's going to be, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, it feels clear to me that like whatever happens on election day is not going to be finalized until 2025. Yeah. That's definitely like the astrology definitely indicates that. If you look at Trump's astrology, election day is very crazy. And then also the first part of 2025 is very crazy for Trump. So I could see sort of some weird, like, January 6th ass type thing happening again. Mm-hmm. Or honestly, I could see him getting assassinated, not to like predict that or throw that out there, but like
Trump or Biden?
Trump.
Biden's kind of like whatever in all of this. It's not really like, he's not that important, I think, astrologically. It does feel like a Trump show, mm-hmm. like in some way. And mm-hmm. I know it's like he's marginal or whatever, but like he's refused to go to any Republican debates. There have been Republican debates going on, but no one's watching them. Mm-hmm. Like, he's refused to go. He maintains that the election was a fraud, which is a crazy thing for a person to be running on that platform. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, imagine that we have, like, a really fucking bad economy. People are very, like, scared like they were in 2020. Like, people will do crazy things. Yeah. Like vote for Joe Biden, which they did in 2020. You know what I mean? Like, but this time it's like reversed, right? Where it's like, I don't know. I honestly think like we can't really say like Trump's going to win or whatever. I just, there's something about this election that I feel like it feels like it's like the end of an era, yeah. You know?
It feels like people, I mean, every election in my waking memory, which granted is not like all that many elections, but I just feel like it feels like more of a mockery, like each time it comes around, just yeah. like more of a spectacle, like everyone has
corpses rotting yeah. more and more.
yeah.
Every 4 years we trot it out again.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Like I feel like this is finally like the nail in the coffin in a way where like we just have no hope
yeah.
for it.
Right. And I think it could be like fucking boring. Like it could literally be like voter mm-hmm. turnout's like 15%.
And no like, one cares.
Yeah, like maybe we have a democracy, but like no one feels like we do. And so no one participates in it. And so it's effectively useless. Like mm-hmm. it could be something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, maybe democracy goes out with a whimper instead of a bang. Like, I think that's possible, but it does. I do think that like the American project is like fundamentally like transformed and maybe a failure, like at the end of this, yeah. like, of this year into next. Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of a bummer. But I feel like for those of us that are, like, into this, like, Bitcoin sovereignty thing, like,
yeah.
we kind of are, like, prepared for this in a way. Maybe not, like, literally physically, but, like, mm-hmm. it's like you see the writing on the walls, you see the ineffectiveness of, like, the current structure and, like, I don't know, empires rise and fall, right?
Totally. Could AI be implicated in any of this?
I don't know.
I have thoughts.
Yeah, go on.
So
I have thoughts.
I mean, I do have thoughts. I think the AI is very representative of like the whole Pluto and Aquarius archetype. Because I mean, there's definitely like an insidious side to like AI as well, like whatever. But then also, if we zoom out even just a little bit further into the next 2 years instead of just the next year, so we mentioned, you know, Jupiter goes into Gemini, but then we'll also finally have Uranus move into Gemini. And both Uranus and Gemini is great with technology. Mm-hmm. Like throughout history, like there have been a lot of like incredible innovations that come out of that Uranus and Gemini period. So like as far as the election goes, I don't know that I know enough about the topic to like explain how it could be implicated in this. But I do think that like AI as a concept and even just like technology in general, like there kind of is hope in some kind of revolution that is coming within the next few years. But we might not really get like the full picture of what that looks like this year.
Yeah, I would say like I think that 2024 is more of like a wrap up on like since 2008 till now. It's like the end of this Pluto and Capricorn era. Yes, we're getting like the boost of like the new thing, and that's why I say, like, I think on a personal level, the more that people can lean into that energy, and I will say, like, if you can read your own chart, like looking at where Aquarius is in your chart is very helpful, like, because you can figure out exactly what area of your life aspects, or like you can see how Pluto is aspecting parts of your chart. I mean, like, an astrologer can look at that. Like, that's if you went to like an astrologer, that's what they would look at. You can kind of see how that plays out on a personal level, and I think on a personal level people can plant those seeds and cultivate those seeds, but I feel like AI is kind of like a part of that new thing that hasn't really,
it's not fleshed out yet.
Like, it's more like we're seeing this like end of an era with like the Pluto and Capricorn. And not just that, it's like literally the Pluto return of the United States, like a 250 year cycle of the United States that's like ending and re-beginning. But it's like, I think the karma is coming back around. And obviously, like, Americans always think that they're like the main character of like the world. But I feel like in this particular time, it's like it is very much about America this year. And then I think moving forward, yeah, as you said, we have a little bit more of this like futuristic technology kind of feel.
But the Uranus return, I mean, like right after the Pluto return of the United States finishes, we basically start the Uranus return.
Which is every Uranus return, there's a major war in the United States. Yep. It's the Civil War, World War II, and then this is the third Uranus return of the United States. So,
but I think this will be more of an information war.
Like, yeah, we're now in like information, economic warfare, Cold War, as opposed to on the ground war. So we'll see. We'll see if Bitcoin's involved in that. We have other like stuff here about the various transits, but I feel like we should just get into Casey.
Yeah, let's do it.
Casey, how do you feel? Like, what I feel like going through the year, like, what do you think? Are you like, yeah, this pretty much like aligns with what I would think? Or are you like,
I don't really have expectations. You know, yeah, I don't really have
doing your thing.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. You know? What do I think? It's just the world is so fucking weird and fucked up. I feel like the world was much simpler when I was younger. No, doesn't it feel like the world in the 80s was much simpler than the world now?
Yeah, actually, when I watch Stranger Things type shows that are like set in the 80s, it like makes my skin crawl. Like, it feels so foreign to me, but like also still proximal because it's not quite like a history piece or something. It's like, scary is the right word, but it freaks me out to think that I could have been born before the internet, because I feel like I would be such a fundamentally different person if I had been. Like, obviously you're a very internet person despite being born like before me, but like
to put it mildly
but like, it's, I think my life would be so much worse if I had not grown up with the internet, and like it like freaks me out to think about that. But I guess the world was simpler.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about, like, what did we have that was, like, weird back then? I think the AIDS crisis was very interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot more anxiety about AIDS. There was a sort of anxiety about the environment and an anxiety about population growth that we don't have anymore. I feel like climate change has sort of pushed out other environmental concerns. Yeah. Like, things are, like, the ocean's dirty or whatever. That was the kind of like 90s style environmentalism.
When was Hole in the Ozone Layer? That was like 10 years ago, right?
I think more. I think that was like a 90s thing. And then it was like done by like 2000 or mid 2000. I don't know.
I remember because I was living in New Zealand in 2009, 2008.
Isn't the hole really bad there?
Exactly. the school uniform, they had to wear hats outside because of the hole in the ozone layer. It was definitely still a thing when I was a kid, but... Yeah, I mean, I'm sure life was... I don't know if the world was simpler or if just information was not as available to people. Like, if you think about, like, the O.J. Simpson murder trial...
As weird, we just didn't know about it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I honestly think that's true, and I think that's part of, like, the... And maybe that is also, like, a self-fulfilling prophecy where it's, like, you realize how weird the world is, and then the world gets even weirder because everyone is weird because they... You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, like, it's, like, a positive feedback loop. But I don't know. I think that's like part of what we're learning to deal with in this like transition to the age of Aquarius, is like we are entering an information age where, like, I mean, even by the time we're like dead, it's like we cannot even fathom like how different the world is going to look like from the 80s till now till like 30 years from now, it's like, it's fucking unfathomable. Yeah. And I do think like that rapid transformation is particular to this time and wasn't so extreme before. But I don't know. Again, I think people always feel that way a little bit, but I do think it's punctuated right now. I mean, the internet is like greatest invention of all time.
Easy.
Right?
Yeah.
It like has to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that makes me an Age of Aquarius ass bitch, but like, it's just, yeah, it's anyway, we should get into your astrology.
Let's go.
So it's crazy right from the beginning, basically.
So this doesn't sound like it's going to be like, oh, this is really good. This is a good.
I think there's not nice not moments.
There's nice moments in there.
I mean, was Ordinals good for you?
Ordinals was powerful.
Yeah,
that's what we're looking
that's
at.
What we're looking what we're at. 2023 round two for you.
Great.
And that's not the case for everyone. Like, I do think there's like some level of 2023 round two energy in general. But I would say for you specifically, there's a lot of 2023 round two energy.
Giddy up.
That's a spirit.
Exactly. We love that. Yeah. Starting off January 27th, there's just a lot of activity around your natal Mars, which is also a synastry point between you and Raph. So you and Raph have this like very intense synastry of like
it's
your
really
Mars.
Cute.
It's cute. It's like your Mars and Raph's moon.
Yes.
So it's your impulse, drive, passion, craziness, and his like emotional, like inner world kind of side. You guys literally like they're exactly at the same point, 19 degrees of Aries, mm-hmm. which is the exact degree of the eclipse that happens April 8th. But like that being said, like starting out January 27th, there's like pretty strong interactions right off the bat with that point. So I do feel like you and Raph and kind of like the dynamic between the two of you, which I feel like is ordinals in a lot of ways. I don't know. I fear ordinals bull market, but like, you know, yeah. Like fucked. Then getting into, yeah, April 8th, there's a new moon solar eclipse, literally exactly by degree on that point. I mean, we'll talk more probably off camera, but like, I think there's going to be quite a bit of, I don't know, like, could you see the having an impact on ordinals specifically? Like, that's what I was trying to think of is like this eclipse. It's very, very impactful to specifically you and Raph. Mm-hmm. And it's also when like the having is happening.
I don't know what relationship there is between the having and ordinals. Of course, it does mean one more epic sat will be mined.
No.
True that.
I believe there's four epic sats, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Four, maybe three already. I don't know.
I think this will be the fourth. Yeah.
So another fourth epic sat. It means that block rewards will go down, which does mean that fees are getting ever more important.
Yeah, I mean, what if the fee market's like fucking nuts? Like, what if you like can't make a Bitcoin transaction like after this halving?
I mean, I think
like realistically.
Oh, I mean,
like, what if inscribing becomes like insane? What if even fucking sending like a layer one Bitcoin transaction becomes insane?
The thing is,
opening a Lightning Network channel. I don't know. Could it happen that fast?
The thing is that inscribing would never be a... The crazier that the fee market gets, the less people are going to be inscribing.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, inscribing would never cause fees to get so crazy.
Yeah, I guess
high.
It's a naturally regulating cycle.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I mean, I wonder if... I don't know when fees... When the subsidy gets low enough that we really are in the fee... subsidized security era of Bitcoin. Like, I think 3.25 Bitcoin, that's still a lot of Bitcoin, or 3.125 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
After the halving. So,
and especially if Bitcoin price is high, right?
Yeah. I don't know if much materially changes this halving.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, you could imagine, like, you know, if the narrative around Bitcoin is really big, like a lot of new users come to ordinals and all of a sudden the GitHub's a fucking zoo.
Yeah.
Wait, what day is NFT NYC?
It's that weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like it could just be more ordinal shit catching on at that time, coincidentally.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like, none of this is bad necessarily. It's just powerful, as you said.
Yeah, ordinal's good.
it's just a lot. And like even going further than that, 420, there's Venus conjunct your natal Mars, which that happened on his birthday, right? This last year? I think so. I don't know if you remember. I'm pretty sure that was also the transit that happened on his birthday.
Yeah.
So very similar transit to your birthday.
Mm-hmm. I remember that because my moon is also very similar to that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just, and that's the day that Jupiter also is conjunct Hitler's Uranus. Birthday. Also Hitler's birthday. Also the weed holiday.
Yeah. Plays
National it. Day of Weed. Plays it. Mm-hmm. But that's Jupiter conjunct Uranus and Venus is on his Mars. Mm-hmm. So it's just, 420. I really feel like January through April is like pretty insane for you and Raph. And then getting into May, now we get into our synastry. So like May through July is about you and me, baby. Because we have, so you and Raph have this like really nice Mars moon synastry.
Other stuff too. They've got like the other fun too, Sag situation going
that's
on.
That's the thing that's like really getting hit in like 2024 is that synastry. You and I, we have a couple points too, but one of the big ones is your midheaven, which is like your career or life path is like exactly conjunct my ascendant, which is my public facing persona. So basically like my public facing persona is very tied into your like career destiny life path. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. There's a lot of really, really nice transits around that. I would say like the January through April period is like a lot of chaos with you and Raph. And then after that, which doesn't have to be bad chaos, it's just chaos. Mm-hmm. And then going into like May through July, it's like a lot of like nice positive growth for you and me. Mm-hmm. And then like the rest of the year is kind of just chilling, like how this year was, you know, it's like the end of the year again is like a similar sort of like reflect, rework, like, you know, just kind of like put your head down, do your thing. Like it's not so much like every day is like a new like surprise.
Just work on thing. Your shitcoin casino and have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like bloop, 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 making your pottery, whatever. Yeah, we can talk more off camera too, but but like I think it is very, it's interesting. Like obviously last year at this time I didn't know Raph, and like I didn't know Raph's chart. It's like interesting to see the relationship between you and Raph astrologically, and like how I feel like it's definitely very strongly impacted this year. I would say this upcoming year even more than this last year.
Raph's Saturn is also pretty well implicated by this too, because it's 16 degrees Aries, so it's gonna be a time of Raph having to like really level up responsibilities.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Love you, Raph.
Yeah, good luck.
But then it, yeah, the ball passes to me, and like I feel like it's a it's more like I feel like it's a little bit more about like just, I don't know, you and I kind of doing our thing.
We got to crank out some good podcast episodes.
We got to crank out some good ass podcast episodes.
Yes, good ass podcast.
But yeah, I think like what's nice about astrology is like, I mean, whatever, whether you believe in it or not, it's like having a structure through which to understand your life, I think makes it feel less confusing, chaotic, hopeless, like whatever, like just, I like going into the new year being like, okay, I can expect that this time is going to be challenging, or it's going to be like positive or whatever. And like, I don't know, I feel like it allows you to kind of like appreciate the ebb and flow of life, because you have more of like a belief that the energy will change, which like during good times makes you grateful for the good times, and during bad times makes you like be able to push through to the good times. Yeah. And yeah, it's going to be another fucking crazy year for you. That much is clear.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yes.
Wow.
We'd love to hear that.
Think,
even if
Runes goes absolutely crazy, I think I'm in a much better position to handle it. I sort of have a little bit of experience, you know, and maybe Runes will just be a massive flop and nobody will use it, you know?
Yeah. And you'll be like, oh no.
Or maybe everybody will use it. I'll be the 2-time fucking protocol champion of Bitcoin. Most iconic protocols on top of Bitcoin.
Yeah, they said he couldn't do it again.
But he
proved them wrong.
Yeah.
They said he couldn't come up with more stupid ass words.
Bullshit. He couldn't top the retarded ass shit that he did last
exactly,
time.
Exactly, but it's even bigger this year.
Yeah. Even dumber.
It's even dumber. That's some alpha
drop,
Bitcoin honestly.
Season 3 is going to be retarded.
It's gonna be fucking, I don't know, we'll see. I mean, I told you during spooky Bitcoin I'm scared but also optimistic. I don't know, how do you feel, Caroline?
I'm chilling. Like my life's a mess, like I'm just enjoying it.
She's along for the ride.
I'm along for the ride. Yeah.
Is there anything else we should say?
Good luck.
Yeah, if you want a reading.
GLHF, everybody.
GLHF, if you want a reading, like if you want to see like, you know, your own natal astrology and how 2024 is playing out for you, Caroline and I have
bookings. Do people get when they get a reading? Do they get a little printout as well? Do they get some diagrams?
No, I mean,
You guys should do that.
How am I supposed to do that remotely?
No. Make a little diagram. Send them a PDF, like, a cute little PDF.
Yeah. No, like they get like their chart, like, and like, it's just, I mean, sending a print would be way too much, but yeah, I mean, basically like if you, we're just doing like 60 minute slots, basically like the structure we're doing is like 30 minutes of just talking about like your natal chart, like what is your specific astrology? And then 30 minutes looking at 2024 and kind of like mapping out the year.
Like so, what areas of life are going to be focused on and what's going to get hit for you. And
Yeah. We're only doing it December and January. Cause to be honest, like natal chart readings are a lot, like it's like a lot of like, you learn a lot about people and it's a lot to kind of like engage. Like I don't think I could do natal chart readings like year round all the time. Like,
well, I mean, as Aaron mentioned, like we're definitely more interested in like outer planet, like societal shifts, like, you know, the paradigm shifts of the world we live in, like rather than natal astrology. Not that it's not an important, you know,
it's part. Very rewarding. Like I think it's like, it's work that's like hard, but it's very rewarding. I think like the reason why we want to do it now is just because like 2024 is pretty insane. And I think as I said earlier, like there's kind of these opportunities for individuals to plant seeds. Like even just if you think about like how much easier it is to buy Bitcoin as an individual versus an institution right now, it's like sort of that energy right now where it's like, as an individual, it's easier for you to like venture out into whatever like big project you want to build than like just kind of like hammering away at like the old grind in a way. Like it's, I feel like 2024, as the old world collapses and like the US is plunged into chaos, like you can work on your special little thing. And I think that special little thing is very different for everyone. And so like, basically what we'd like to do is just kind of like, just give people like, okay, this is where it's showing up for you specifically. So that's kind of like, yeah, I feel like that's why we're like doing natal. And I don't think we've never opened up readings. This is like the first time that we've ever done reading. This is the first time I've ever had readings booked. Usually I just do them for friends. So
yeah. Well, we have done them professionally before, but this is the first time like we're accepting.
Yeah. Like
bookings
we do
from like
for,
whoever.
We've done them for like Aquarian conspiracy, like VIP inscription holders, but not. Yeah. We've never like opened up to like the public before. So, but I don't know. I think it'll be fine. I think it's like needed and
it's like a little therapy session.
It's literally like a fucking like, therapy session. Like that's what it's going to be. But I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. We have like a couple booked, which is nice. But yeah, if you want a reading, if you want a poster, 2024 year ahead, they're also available on our website.
Framed.
AquarianConspiracy.org.
AquarianConspiracy.org. There's a framed version and an unframed version. So both are available.
And we'll definitely do some sort of Aquarian Conspiracy event in 2024. So we'll announce that at some point. But yeah, I think that's all.
Yeah, awesome.
Thanks, Casey.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was so fun.
Our pleasure. Thanks for coming on the pod.
Hell yeah. All right.
All right.
Bye.
See you guys next time.